Hello and welcome to Anna with Two N's English Podcast, episode number 55. Now, on today's episode, I want to talk to you about four ways that you can sound more natural when you speak English. And I know a lot of you are looking for, how can I speak like a native? How can I sound more native? Well, I deliberately haven't chosen the word native, and I'll explain in a little bit. The reason why I've chosen to call this advanced speaking is because none of my students, advanced, high intermediate, nobody is using these things. Nobody. Zero. Zilch. Sometimes in English we say zilch, which I think is German. I don't actually know. Just to emphasize. Okay. Zero. Zilch. Nobody is using these phrases, and these are super simple phrases. None of these things are complicated. None of these things I'm going to tell you about today are more than four words, but they can add a finishing touch to your English, make you sound a little bit more natural. You can impress your friends and colleagues. So let's get on with it. Without any further ado, let's have some nice samba music, please, of course. So as I said in the introduction, I haven't called this four ways to sound like a native, and I'll quickly tell you why. It's partly because I feel that that's not a very good message to send, because it's impossible to be a native speaker of English if you are a non-native speaker. You're a non-native speaker, so it's not possible. So I don't think it's a very good message to be sending out. And also, within native speakers, there's a lot of variation. So what I would say as a little bit of a disclaimer is, please remember that I'm using these from my perspective. And my perspective is, I grew up in the UK, in the south of England. Okay, I'm British, I'm English, whatever. I say I'm English, I say I'm British. I change it up. It doesn't matter to me, but those are the two terms that I use. I did used to live in the north of England, but even within England, some people probably wouldn't always say these things. However, I've tried to pick ones that are very general. So essentially what I'm trying to say is, if you're looking for American English, look away now. This is not about American English. I mean, we use these terms, I'm using these terms very loosely. I don't know exactly what an American person would say in every single situation. Most of it's more or less the same, but I don't know. There might be a difference. So I'm looking at it from a British English perspective, but be aware that there could be other ways to say this. All right? So we're going to go with four things. And I picked these up and I had these on my list. I just love this topic. I don't know why, but I just love it. I've been waiting to do this episode ever since I've thought of the idea. I've been like waiting like an excited child to talk about it. It's funny, isn't it? I mean, really, I'm just talking to myself when I'm doing this. Although I feel like I'm talking to you. I feel like there's someone talking back at me. But there isn't. Anyway, let's start. So, number one, when people are asking you to do things, okay, I'm going to use the example of being at work here. A lot of you are working, you're professionals, whatever. Everybody's asking you to do stuff. Okay, I don't mean that in a negative way, but people ask you to do stuff all the time, right? Anna, can you do this? Anna, can you do that? Anna, can you send this? Anna, can you go there? Okay. Now, a lot of people respond to that and they'll say, okay, okay, or yeah, sure. And that's absolutely fine. One thing I want to clarify is that these aren't really corrections. These are recommendations. Okay, and yeah, sure is an absolutely perfect answer to that question. But one way that I might answer that question is, I might say this. Anna, can you send me that report by tomorrow? Oh, sure, will do. Anna, can you just speak to the client before you go home today? I just want to make sure that everything's boxed off. Sure, will do. Ooh, I like that phrase where boxed off. I've got to touch on it. I've got to talk about it. Boxed off means finished and closed. Ooh, I like that one. Can't remember the last time I said boxed off. If something is boxed off, meaning a task It means it's finished, it's done, it's completed. Box it off. I think it comes back to the idea of the checkbox and ticking things off, I imagine. Anyway, I digress. If you notice there, I'm saying will do. Will do. I actually talked about this recently on my Instagram channel. Will do is a way to say okay. When somebody asks you to do something and you say yes, you can also say will do. Send me the report. Will do. Can you speak to the client later? Will do. Can you update the system before you go home tonight? Will do. No probs. No probs. We also use that as well in informal settings. Will do is quite a flexible one, okay? So we could use that in a business context. We could also use it in a personal context. For example, maybe you have kids and you're like, look, I'm going to imagine my imaginary husband here. John, can you pick the kids up after school? Sure, will do. See you later. So something that you could say to somebody as you're leaving. Sure, will do. Yep, yep. Oh, John, can you just pick up the milk on your way home from work? That would be amazing. Sure, will do. Or yeah, will do. So will do. That's my number one thing. Start saying will do instead of okay or yes. It's very natural. We use it a lot. We also use it in a written form in informal messaging, for example, WhatsApp or emails, etc. Okay. Are you going to listen to the next episode of Anna with Two N's? Will do. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. Okay, next one. We're going to do another one. Now, this one I love, 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 love. And it's not the first time that I've talked about it. So this is a phrase, and I bang on and on about it. To bang on about something is just to talk about it a lot. Why? Because nobody uses it. Nobody uses it, and it's something that we use all the time, especially British people. British people have a stereotype, actually, among British people for being a little, to complain a lot. Okay, like, we're always complaining about things. We're like, oh, yes, very nice, hee, hee, hee. And then we're like, oh, my God, I hate my life. We complain a lot in general. I complain a lot. I admit it. People that know me would probably say, Anna, you complain a lot. And I would have to agree with them. Otherwise, I would be lying to myself. When I don't want to do something, okay, I'm going to say this. Ugh, I can't be bothered. Let's go back to the imaginary husband. Anna, can you just put the dishes away? Or can you just take, oh, the worst thing. Can you just take the dishes out of the dishwasher? Ugh. No, I can't be bothered. Can I do it later? Oh, I can't be bothered. Can I do it tomorrow? When we don't want to do something in English, in an informal situation, we say, I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered. And we often accompany it with this kind of like sound, like, ugh, I can't be bothered. In Spanish, it means like, me da pereza. Or no quiero. But in Spanish, I feel like it just doesn't quite encompass can't be bothered. I don't feel like I could express it exactly how I want to express it. No, there's many reasons why you can't be bothered to do something. Maybe you're tired, okay? Maybe you had a long day. You can't be bothered. I can't be bothered to go to the gym. A very common one. I'll give you another example. Normally, I have a coffee in the morning when I wake up, okay? So one of the first things that I do in the morning, I wake up, I have a coffee. Fantastic, fabulous, love it. However, on this morning, a couple of weeks ago, I forgot to get the milk. Normally, I stock up on milk to make sure that I don't run out and I have this situation. However, in this morning, I ran out. There's literally a shop that is within 2 minutes from my house. Did I go to the shop? No, I didn't. Why? Because I couldn't be bothered. I was in my pajamas, I was lying in bed, and I was like, do you know what? I can't be bothered. I'm going to sacrifice my coffee for laziness. Maybe one of your friends might ask you, Anna, do you want to go out for a drink on Friday? And you're like, do you know what? I can't really be bothered, sorry. However, if you say that directly to somebody, that could be quite rude. You're like, I can't be bothered. So again, this you need to find where is appropriate. It certainly wouldn't be appropriate, for example, if your boss says, Anna, I want you to send me the report tomorrow. And you're like, can't be bothered, sorry. You might be thinking it in your head, but that's not what you say. So this is something to say in informal situations when you don't want to do something. I can't be bothered. We also sometimes use it in the past tense. For example, yesterday, I couldn't be bothered to go to the gym. But today, I'm more in the mood. I'm feeling like going to the gym, for example. So there we go. That's my little phrase. I love that phrase. And I absolutely love teaching my students because they're like, I've never heard of this before. And I'm like, perfect. Use it. And you will sound better than the majority of people speaking English because nobody uses that phrase. Okay, we're going to move on. The next one that I want to talk about is a lovely little beautiful adjective that a lot of students have problems pronouncing, and that is the word awkward. Awkward. Oh yes, a lot of my students are like, and I hate you. I don't want to say this word anymore. Now, I probably love this word just as much as I love the phrase, I can't be bothered. It's such a beautiful word that just encompasses that feeling. Now, we often use the word awkward, which in Spanish would translate to incómodo. We use it a lot to describe situations, also people, but more situations. And again, this is one of those words where in Spanish, incómodo, it's like it doesn't quite hit the nail on the head. I'm like, it's just not quite awkward. Now, you must know that British people, we use the word awkward all the time. Like, all the time. And it's like a little interjection. Okay, so maybe somebody's telling you a story. And this is how I want you to practice using it, as an interjection. Somebody's telling you a story about something really awkward. And you're like, oof. You're like, awkward. Now, be careful there, because the first thing I said was, oof. That's not a British, that's not an English-speaking sound, okay? That's a Spanglish thing, like boof. I don't know what kind of sounds in Spain. You have a lot of boofs and brr and you have very different pa-pa-pa. You have very different sounds than in English. I more like to say this, like we kind of draw the breath in. Oof, awkward. And we can kind of give it a comedic effect because often when we're telling stories about awkward situations, they're funny, right? Maybe not for the person involved in the situation, but they're kind of funny. So you're like, awkward. So you can add a bit of comedic value. You could also do it in a little bit more of a serious tone. For example, you could say, oh, awkward. And that tone kind of implies a little bit more empathetic, like a little bit more sympathy towards the situation. Like, oof, that sounds really awkward. Not like, oof, awkward. We use this all the time. I remember my mum telling me a story about something very awkward that happened to her. And I was like, oof, ugh, awkward. And that's it. We just interject. We don't say, oh, that's a really awkward situation. No, we're like, ugh, awkward. So the next time that somebody's telling you a story about a very uncomfortable situation, I want you to try and interject with a little awkward. It's a beautiful word. We use it a lot in English. It's informal, okay? So if your client's telling you something and you're like, oh, awkward. No, this is for friends, family, close colleagues, when you're having those kind of informal situations where you're telling each other stories about funny things that have happened. Oh, I just love the word awkward. It's so amazing. It's just a beautiful word. Okay, I'm going to wrap up with my fourth one today. And this is, again, a bit of an interjection. Okay, and this is kind of where in Spanish you might say, bueno, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. When you start talking about something new, maybe you're in a meeting, for example, and you want to start talking about something new and kind of signal that you're talking about something new. Now, I was actually inspired by this one, by English with Rob. English with Rob has a YouTube channel and a podcast, and he recently did an episode about Britishness. And this word was on that list and it inspired me to talk about it. Rob has a fantastic channel, as I said, and stay tuned because we are doing an episode together, which I am going to be releasing soon. So stay tuned for that. It's a great episode and we talk about lots of interesting things. Anyway, a lot of students, when they want to start new things, they'll say, okay, yeah. Or, okay then. And actually, one very British thing, one very natural and native thing instead to say is, right. Right then. We use the word right all the time. You may have noticed in my podcast, you may have noticed in my videos on Instagram, wherever, we're always using the word right. Right then. Let's go. What have we got on the agenda today? Ooh, right then. Better get on with it. To get on with something is to start something, to do something. I actually use this a lot when I'm talking to myself. I'm like, right, Anna, get your shit together. To get your shit together is a lovely expression that we use in English, which basically means, sorry. It was very slurred speech there. It sounded like I was slightly drunk. I promise you, I've only had ginger tea. It's an expression that we use to say, get organized. Get your shit together, Anna. So you can either say right or right then. Right then, let's get on with my work today. Right then, what have I got in my inbox to have a look at? So we use it, we say it suddenly, okay? At the start of something, at the start of saying something new. So it's like an interjection, okay? Or an exclamation. So the next time that you're doing that, maybe you're in a meeting and you want to start a new topic, I want you to use right instead of any other vocabulary. I want you to try that one instead. And I want you to try using that a little bit more so that you sound a little bit more natural. You're going to sound a little bit more British English. So if you're all good with that, then that's excellent. And we also use right to express agreement as well, which is a little bit similar to will do. So let's use the example of pick the milk up after work. I'll say, oh, can you pick the milk up after work? And I'll say, right, yep. It's less common. I wouldn't do that, but it's another way that I've seen it being used. Also, another variation of that is righto then. Righto then, or righty-ho. Righty-ho. Is it righty-ho or is it righty-o? Oh, God. I'm not sure. Righty-o. I would say righty-o then. I don't really say it very much, but it's a variation you might hear, and that just means right, which is kind of agreement and confirmation. So there you go. I'm going to wrap up there. But those are my four ways that you can sound more natural. Trust me, they sound very simple, and you might be thinking, this is not advanced. Trust me, none of my advanced students use these words. And if they do, they use them very sparingly. The important thing is that you use the vocabulary, okay? If you don't use it, you lose it, okay? Ooh, I like that. That rhymes. That's good. I'm sure somebody's taken that phrase already. But it's true. If you don't use it, you lose it. Make sure that you try and incorporate it. Give it a little go. Kind of start to feel a little bit more comfortable with it, okay? Maybe write down some examples. Say it out loud, okay? Build up a little bit of confidence. I know it feels a little bit weird when you start to use a new phrase and you're like, oh my God, I feel like an idiot. But little by little, it'll begin to feel more normal. I hope you've enjoyed the episode today. I really, really love that topic. I know a lot of you have asked me about how can I be more native and natural. So this one is for you guys. If you like the podcast, please subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe on iVoox. You can also subscribe on Spotify. There we go. I got that one. You can also check me out on Instagram. I post loads of other content on Instagram as well as stuff about the podcast. So find me on there at Anna with _2Ns_English. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you very, very soon. Bye-bye.